Good evening, 007.
My name is James Bond.
And members of your curious profession are few in number. You have been recognized. Let's say by one of your opposite numbers, who is also licensed to kill. Oh, that interesting car of yours. I too have a new toy, but considerably more practical. You are looking at an industrial laser, which emits an extraordinary light not to be found in nature. It can project a spot on the moon, or at closer range, cut through solid metal. I will show you. This is gold, Mr. Bond. All my life I've been in love with its color, its brilliance, its divine heaviness. I welcome any enterprise that will increase my stock, which is considerable.
I think you've made your point, Goldfinger. Thank you for the demonstration.
Choose your next witticism carefully, Mr. Bond. It may be your last. The purpose of our two previous encounters is now very clear to me. I do not intend to be distracted by another. Good night, Mr. Bond.
Do you expect me to talk?
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
Hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
Hi and welcome. Oh, sorry.
That was Damien.
That's not what I was supposed to say. My name is Douglas.
Damien isn't with us tonight. He's MIA. We can't find him. We can't get him on the phone. He's lost. Do you think he went to another dimension? Is he dead?
If by dead you mean sleeping and can't wake up? Yes, I do think so.
I was just playing on Lost, but sure, that sounds just as viable.
Okay,
they're all asleep. Yeah, that sounds like an explanation to Lost.
That doesn't work for somebody who only watched the first few episodes of Lost. Just saying.
You never even watched the full first season, Douglas?
No, that's I didn't.
I like that show a lot.
I'm sure you would.
Oh, but without Damien, we must continue, and the podcast rolls on. So I asked Douglas, sir, what have you been watching?
What have I been watching?
And let's see if I can count down from 10 until it's my turn.
Okay, so I haven't watched that much this week, but I watched a couple of things. And first, but not
three.
Least, you're an asshole. The first thing I want to talk about, I had a little bit of spillover because I thought to myself the other day, I'm pretty sure that there was something that I really wanted to watch that I actually ended up watching, but don't think I spoke about it on the podcast. And that was a movie by the name of Lawless that starred about everybody.
The grunts.
And anybody. It had Shia LaBeouf, Mia Wasikowski, it has, you know, Gary Oldman, and one of my favorite actors in recent times, Tom Hardy. And this movie was okay. I mean, I know you know this movie, Andrew, but for you know, people who don't deserve to be watching this podcast, I can let them know. This is a movie about bootleggers who, funny enough, are outlaws, and then get shot a bunch of times, get arrested or try to get arrested a bunch of times, get shot a couple more times, and then alcohol is no longer illegal and they don't know what the fuck to do with themselves. And that's what this movie is about. And it's, as I said, okay, it's not extremely special, and it saddened me because, again, Tom Hardy is in this movie, and as far as I'm concerned, any movie or anything at all with him needs to be at least spectacular, if not egregiously amazing. So that was a huge letdown for me. Other than that, I watched...
Hold on. Before you go any further, right? Yeah. This is a movie which I avoided talking about a while back because I just didn't feel as inspired to discuss it. but I feel like you're giving it a bit of a slight. I'm not saying that movie is great.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's very bad.
No, it's not. It's not.
And a lot of things work very well in it. Two things being a lot of the acting. Mm-hmm. Between Tom Hardy...
Well, that's a given.
Jessica Chastain. I don't know the guy's name, but I know him as the lead from Chicago Code, who plays the other brother.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot he was in this movie.
And a few other bit roles. This movie, the acting is pretty fantastic. And... the character that Tom Hardy plays and the way the story plays with that character is pretty damn fantastic.
Yes, I agree.
I mean, there's a scene towards the end where Jessica Chastain confesses something and the reaction
is thought...
beautiful.
Are you sure?
And even the end of the movie, how it deals with Tom Hardy as a character. It's just damn fantastic. I think it's worth watching just for Tom Hardy. Just if you want, like, the movie is definitely Shia LaBeouf's character as the lead. We're watching him grow. Yeah. But really, if you watch it as Tom Hardy being the protagonist and you see all of those scenes where he's not there as filler, the movie's pretty damn fun.
No, but the truth of the matter is, Andrew, this movie... while I agree with pretty much everything you've said in the sense that all of these pieces are great... when you add these pieces up along with what you call the filler, it doesn't equate, the sum of the parts don't equal a good movie. It's just an okay movie with really cool parts. And that's, you know, why I was a little disappointed, because as you say, Tom Hardy was amazing in this movie, and anytime you saw him on the stage, well, or on the screen rather, you immediately got re-engaged into the film. But that was really most of, or yeah, that was really the only time. Otherwise you kind of had to appreciate that, you know, this person is doing well and that person is doing well. But the truth of the matter is the story itself, the overarching story, not the fact that Tom Hardy is a legendary bootlegger, but the story of this family, I don't want to call it rising up, but that's kind of what the trailer makes it seem like, against the law, is not that great a story, and it's not that great a movie. It's as you say, it's not bad, but it's not good. It's average, you know, and for me, disappointingly so, because of the cast. Do you agree with that?
I mean, I don't think it was any more disappointing than I thought it would be thanks to the trailer when we talked about it back then.
Yes, but you see, Andrew, there's this thing called bias, and I have a shitload of it, especially when
remember, I told you guys it looked like watered-down John Hill quotes. That's exactly what it was.
Agreed.
So Andrew was right. You can now move on.
Alright, Andrew was right. We shall move on. Another movie that I watched was... Here comes the boom. Let's continue to the rest of my list.
Oh, hold on. So, you saw an MMA movie.
Yes, I did.
Starring the Fonzie
James and the Fonz
and Kevin James. I don't know anyone else who's in that movie. I think there's supposed to be a hot woman in it, but I can't remember right now.
Your favorite lady is in it.
Remind me, because I remember the trailer and I remember thinking, oh, a hot chick I like, but I do not remember who it is now.
Give me a second. Why can't,
oh, come on. You actually watched the movie.
Why is her name not coming to... Okay, Desperado. I don't know why her name isn't coming to me.
Oh, Salma Hayek.
Salma Hayek. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
She was in this. This movie... All right. So, let me tell you about this movie, Andrew. Seeing as you're drawing my tongue, you're drawing me out. This movie was bad. It was not good. But what it did do well were the fights. The first of all, Kevin James as an MMA fighter is pretty unbelievable, right? Let's just get that out in the open. But the fights that he was in, the fights that you see in the movie, and especially the, you know, there's always going to be a final big matchup that is kind of like a make or break, and it's very dramatic. That fight and all of the others were really good and really exciting to watch. Of course, that's probably, well, maybe it's a good thing, but I don't know if that's the best thing that I can say about a supposed comedy. It's probably not a good thing about a movie. But the one thing that I must say about this movie, and I've searched high and low from in every website that I can find and have not confirmed this. So this could be my eyes playing tricks on me. But I am almost 85% sure that there was a cameo bit in this movie, and I laughed my ass off because of this. Have you ever watched The Warrior, Andrew?
I think I may have.
Okay, so the lead role in The Warrior was played by a man called Joel Edgerton. Do you remember that,
no,
man?
Sir, first of all, the lead character in that show is Tom Hardy.
Second of all, the lead character in that movie is Joel Edgerton. Tom Hardy is a supporting actor in that movie. That doesn't bring down what Tom Hardy does to that movie, but he is a supporting role. Him and Nick Nolte are supporting. Unfortunate, yes, but true nonetheless. Now that we've gotten this off of our chest, Joel Edgerton in The Warrior plays an underdog MMA fighter. Well, actually, let's even go further. Let's actually talk about the story of The Warrior. Do you know what Joel Edgerton teaches?
I think you're just using this as an excuse to review The Warrior again as talk about
here comes. I wish I could, but Joel Edgerton is a teacher in this movie. Do you know what he teaches?
He teaches, if I remember correctly, physics.
Physics? You sure? Not biology?
I remember something about forces, because I actually rewatched that movie a little while back while it was still on Netflix Instant. And he was talking about Newton's laws of forces. I don't remember the terms. I suck at high school physics,
okay.
Guys.
Okay,
I
well,
haven't
all
done
right,
it forever.
Let's call it physics. It still works. It's a science subject. So he's a
even though I'm seeing on the internet they say biology. So okay. Maybe I'm wrong.
All right, cool. So he's a biology teacher. Works perfectly. And he, you know, needs a bit of cash, and so he does this MMA thing. And the teachers, or the principals, the powers that be are like, yo, you're doing this crazy thing, what are you doing? You're embarrassing the school, whatever, whatever. But in the end, he is the underdog and beats up everybody, including his brother, in the big MMA tournament and gets his payout. Right? Let's switch a little bit to Here Comes the Boom. This is a story of Kevin James, who is a biology teacher, who doesn't, you know, have that much money, but really and truly he you know, does this MMA thing for some money, and in the end beats up a lot of people and goes up the ranks and, you know, wins an MMA tournament. Well, not a tournament, but something in a big prize fight. And so essentially this movie is Warrior Part 2. But kind of like Paul Blart, The Warrior. That's what this movie really should have been called.
So you're telling me that at the end of Warrior, when Joel Edgerton has won all of that money,
yeah,
he goes back to being a biology teacher and then has to train over all over again He gets into another predicament. He can't manage his money into the fact that he doesn't have to do fighting again, or he goes back. I'm confused. Why would he need to do this all over again?
I'll tell you why this is not Joel Edgerton. Kevin James is a new biology teacher, right? First off, the one twist is that he's not in the tournaments for himself. He's in it because the school is going to cut their arts program, and so he wants to raise money for that. So that's the one difference. Other than the fact that this is a bad movie and that's a good movie, and this has bad actors and it has good actors, and there's very little good about this movie, and there's very little bad about the other movie.
And I'm very much goading you into talking about this movie.
I know you are, but to finally get to the point I wanted to make, which was that I am about 85% sure that Joel Edgerton makes a cameo in this movie, and a cameo as one of the MMA fighters that Kevin James beats the ass off of. And I think that was hilarious. I mean, I might be wrong, right? It might be that I wanted to see him. It was a very quick thing, and Kevin James kind of pinned him down, got up, you know, put his hands up and said, "Yes, I win." And then some guy puts his head up and says, no, I was just playing. Hold on," or something like that. And that, I'm pretty sure, was Joel Edgerton. I can't find any confirmation at all anywhere. But, Andrew, if you ever have the chance to see this movie on TV, don't watch the movie. Just cut somewhere into the middle and just check for me if you believe what I believe. Because that I thought that was the best joke that they could have ever made.
You're like, "Thank you, worth admission."
Yes.
I can now continue to hate this movie.
Exactly. Okay, so other than that, I watched two things. And I'm going to save the best one for last. So I watched another British television show. I'm sure you're very happy for me, Andrew. This one went by the name of Hunted. It's about this lady spy who has a very torrid life. Well, clearly, because she's a spy. But she gets pregnant, and then she gets unpregnant because some guy decides to cap her in the belly. And then she disappears. And she disappears because she has to figure out who the hell decided that they wanted to perform some sort of abortion on me like that. That's not cool. So I guess she, you know, kind of comes up with some sort of conclusion, but isn't sure. So she goes back into the business so she can lure the people out, so she can be 100% sure who shot her. This show is not that good. I hope... Well, you know, I always hope that this is the first episode disease, or episode one-itis, like I like to call it, because I've only watched the first episode, and, you know, a lot of TV shows, they always have to set up what happens, whether it's a procedural or not. But for me, this one doesn't seem that great, and I'm not sure if I'm going to continue with it. But I want to talk about something that I watched this week. So, I was on Facebook the other day, and I noticed, hold on, are they saying that Iron Man 3 is getting a trailer? I think they are, because they had this fancy picture with, like, I think the chest piece, and then, like, a power bar under the chest piece, and they were like, if enough people click on this picture and power up Iron Man enough, then you can get to watch the Iron Man 3 teaser. And I said, "Oh, I'd like to watch that, please." But of course, I'm a lazy bastard. I didn't click on anything. I waited for other people to click for me. So after a while, Facebook prompted me and said, "Listen, people have clicked this thing for you. You can watch the Iron Man 3 teaser." And I was so happy, so grateful. I clicked on it. I waited. And then some little flash thing came up. I turned that off, and then I pressed the play for the teaser. It loaded a little while, took a little while to load, and then it was all of like a half a minute, which is fine, because
and in that 30 seconds Tony Stark and Marvel have stolen all of your private information.
Yes, knowing them, they have. But not only did they steal my private information, I'm fine with that. Tony can do whatever he wants with my info. I'm cool with that. He's a cool dude. I'm done with him. But what they did do was egregious, Andrew. You know what I did? This was not an Iron Man 3 teaser. This was a trailer for the Iron Man 3 trailer that comes out next week. What the fuck is that, Andrew? Who decided to do that? Who really? Who? Who? Who?
I can tell you this. I can tell you this, Douglas. This isn't the first time this has happened. I'm not a fan of it. I enjoy teaser trailers, but not teasers to trailers. It is a ridiculously stupid notion, and I find it repulsive at times. Especially I see a lot of websites do this, where they will release something like what you saw, but they release it to ETV, and ETV will play it, and then someone will DVR it, and then they'll put that on the website, a YouTube link of like 5 seconds of some trailer that's going to come out in 3 days. And you're just like, really? I couldn't wait 3 days, guys? Is the traffic that important to you? I can buy you a sandwich.
Yeah, no, this somebody needs to die for this. No, I said die. I did not say fired. If you get fired, it's like you can just go to another place and do the same thing. No, this person needs to die.
What if it's a guy who greenlit Virginia, which is what I like to call it now, but I'm pretty sure you haven't seen it, so that makes no sense to you. John Thank Carter.
You. Well then, you shoot him in the face, then you stand him up again, and you shoot him in the balls after he's already dead. So it's like, you know, you kill him twice.
I say you allow him to live if he can jump as far as Virginia did.
Okay, yes, I have no clue, because as you said, I have not watched that movie yet.
But anyways, you don't have anything else to talk about.
No, I do not. I do not, but what I have been doing is counting the number of anyways that's been going on in this podcast. So, at the end of the podcast, I'm going to give you a score, and that score will directly relate to how well you do in life or something. I don't know.
Anyways, what I've been watching this week... I've seen a lot of films, but I'm only going to talk about a handful of stuff I really want to mention. I saw Dark Shadows, the Tim Burton film, which came out earlier this year. Lots of people weren't very happy with it. I avoided it because it looked very regular Tim Burton-y, especially when you add in the mix of, oh, he cast Johnny Depp and he's doing a weird thing. I actually enjoyed the movie. It's kind of a fun little film. It's pretty much... Making fun of 70s and having fun with the period. If you don't know the story already, Johnny Depp, he's a guy who lives like back in the 1800s or something, and he's turned into a vampire after not falling in love with this witch. So, and then he's put in a box and he wakes up 200 years later. It's 1970. And he has to then do battle with the witch, trying to gain back his town financially and all of these things. And at the same time, he has a whole romantic entanglement with that. And it's enjoyable. There's Helena Bonham Carter, there's Chloe Moretz. My brain is going crazy, but I swear it's Nicole Kidman. I could be wrong. There's also... Shit, what's his name? The guy who played... Rorschach in Watchmen is in this movie.
Like, he has like a Haley Joel or a Billy Joel kind of name.
Yeah.
Like Billy Ray something or another. Yeah.
There's even a moment where they have someone do an Alice Creed performance, and it's really awesome. The only thing that really I didn't like that much is towards the end of the film, there's a twist with the Chloe Moretz character, and it just looks stupid. I didn't like that. Otherwise, I'm fine with the movie. Oh, and also the witch, the evil character is played by
Ava Greencracks.
Right. And to put the cherry on this wonderful Sunday that we're drinking down with Dark Shadows, she actually cracks in the movie. Like, towards the end, she turns into, like, this ceramic thing, and you see her crack all the while. It's crazy. I love it. It's silly. It's stupid. I love it. I also watched Safety Not Guaranteed, the latest film starring Mark Duplass, Aubrey Plaza, and Jake Johnson, about these writers from a magazine who decide to hunt down this individual who puts out an ad in a newspaper asking for a traveling partner who is going to go with him back in time. So Aubrey Plaza goes to meet and interview and just hang out with this guy to figure out what he's about. Like, is he a crazy lunatic? Does he really think he can travel back in time? Or was he just fucking with people putting this ad in the paper? Turns out he thinks he really can travel back in time. And it's just this really cute and interesting look at people's regret of their past. So, for example, when we eventually get to the moment where they're Aubrey Plaza and Mark Duplass are confessing their reasons for wanting to go back into the past, it has to do with the fact that there was a mistake, there was a regret that they want to change. For Duplass, it's something to do with an old girlfriend. For Plaza, and this isn't really a spoiler because they tell it to you from the opening scene, her mother died when she was younger and she wants to go and change something which she hopes will stop that from happening. And it even makes you think more about the time travel genre, because while there are a lot of silly and very action-oriented films in that genre, I mean, I'm sure Terminator wasn't really about regret, even though maybe it was. Maybe the machines regretted having the John Connor, John Connor existing, eventually bringing up the resistance, so they sent back Schwarzenegger to deal with him. But whatever. The film, it's just the right amount of resonance that any movie can have when talking about people. Because there's this one scene where Duplass is talking about his regret, and then he eventually asks a simple question as to what's your favorite song to Aubrey Plaza. And he talks about this notion, and I think we've talked about this on this podcast, when you think about certain songs or certain movies or certain things, they always, the ones with the most effect are those ones which connect you with a time that you have a memory for, a relationship with. And then somehow when you remember that, you feel joy. You feel even more joy in your heart than before. And then he even goes on to this notion of, if things didn't work out with that memory, you go further to feel a little bit more hollow right now, remembering that it was so good then. And I like that so much. The movie's ending is pretty insane, but it doesn't hurt the film at all. I loved it from start to finish, and you will, Douglas. You should watch this movie.
No, of course. I also purchased my copy of this movie and will watch it post-haste during my Lazy Bastard Film Festival.
Is that what that you're going to call it?
That's what I'm going to call it. So just to let everybody know. Well, I might be able to have a first installment of that film festival on Wednesday, because as you found out, Andrew, we're getting a tropical storm more than likely, possibly even a hurricane, depending on
this thing is.
Exactly. And so I will probably have Wednesday off. However, I have quite some time in November that I'm taking from work. Some of that time, about a half of a week, maybe almost a full week, is dedicated to, my good friend is getting married and we're going over to the US Virgin Islands to, you know, watch him throw his life away. And when we get back...
Are you going to be like Vince Vaughn in Old School, just standing up there going like, you can get away from this dude? You can run right now. You don't have to do this.
I should be. That would be wonderful. But
and then you stare at your other and you go, "Hi, honey. I love you too, dude. Run, for the hills now. I'm sorry, I love old school.
I haven't watched that in so long. I don't remember very much of it, other than Will Ferrell streaking through the town. But yes, when I get back, I will have about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks of vacation with no plans. I'll just, you know, maybe I'll go hiking, maybe I'll go mountain climbing, or maybe I'll just be a lazy bastard and sit my ass on the couch and watch some movies. And I think that's what I'm going to do, and that's why I'm calling it the Lazy Bastard Film Festival. I've already picked some titles. I know that as you the name's escaping me. Safety not guaranteed. Yeah, I know that is on the list. Also, A Separation is going to be
there. So what you're saying,
there.
Douglas, putting this into proper film festival terminology, you have picked your galas and your special presentations, but you've yet to decide upon your electives.
Thank you very much. Exactly. I could not say it better myself.
I sincerely hope you enjoy your Lazy Bastard Festival.
No, I will not enjoy my Lazy Bastard Festival, but I will enjoy my Lazy Bastard Film Festival.
Okay, there's still a couple of things I want to mention before we move on. I also saw this film, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, Douglas, by the name of The Way of the Gun. It's from 2000. It stars Ryan Philippe, Benicio del Toro, and James Caan. Have you ever heard of it?
I don't think so.
It is one of the most greatest, the most badassest action, wandering, awesomest dudes film ever.
Well, it's directed by Christopher McQuarrie. Didn't he direct something really big?
No, he hasn't. But he has done a lot of really big writing, which I've come to realize. He wrote the screenplay for The Usual Suspects.
He directed Jack Reacher.
You're spoiling everything I want to talk about, sir. You're a horrible person.
Oh my goodness.
Stop using the internet. No internet for you. No IMDb. How dare you? Ah.
Oh, you know what it is? He wrote. He's a partner for what's his face, for Bryan Singer. That's why I know his name. He wrote The Usual Suspects and Valkyrie.
I just said that.
I don't care. I don't listen to you when you talk. What are you talking about? Come on. You know this.
Fuck.
I'm just joking. I'm sorry.
I'm hurt. I'm gonna cry now. Can I cry on the podcast? Will they hear me cry?
Yes, they will.
They will. Damn it. Anyways. This guy I've discovered is really fucking fantastic. He writes the most pragmatic and economic screenplays and finds ways in making his characters seem so badass. And while he has a few questionable writing credits, it is very noticeable that for those films which we might call questionable, namely The Tourist, that film had around 6 different writers, and I'm willing to believe that whatever he put into that movie was either A, the one joke we might have laughed at, or B, stuff that never made it into that movie after the other 10 writers went through that one. And it also makes me so much more interested in Jack Reacher, because that's the only other film which he has written and directed at this point, which is coming out later this year. And we're going to talk about that trailer a little later. It's so good, Douglas. You need to watch it. It's on Netflix Instant. I recommend you watch it right now.
Oh, it's on Netflix?
It's on Netflix Instant. And that's how I saw it.
I'll watch it then. The Way of the Gun?
The Way of the Gun.
I'll watch that shit then.
So, the last thing I want to talk about, and I've talked about this before on the podcast, but I'm pretty sure that either A, you and Damien decided not to listen to me, or I don't know what was wrong with your brains. Homeland.
Oh, wait, stop. Stop. I want to talk about Homeland. Can I talk about Homeland for a second? Because, do you remember And I'm not going to refute this. But do you remember my... I don't want to say staunch, but fairly strongish problems with Homeland last year?
I'm going to say I don't remember, so please remind me.
Okay, so for the longest while, I didn't really like this show.
How long did you actually watch it? That's my first question.
Wait, no, wait.
Or
that's a part
did you stop?
Story.
Or
that's a part of the story. I can't tell you that yet. So I watched the first few episodes, and I was like, why is Andrew hyping up this show? This show is okay at best. It's not great. Because from day one, you were down with this show. You thought the show was great.
I mean, no, and no. I'm pretty sure if we go back in the archives and we find where I first talked about it, which was pretty early on in the show, I felt the show was promising, and I was willing to give it a chance, right? Because it is a slow burn at first.
Yeah, but yeah, and that's the thing about this
but,
show. It's
but
very
where
slow.
It is today, because I just finished watching the latest episode titled "New Car Smell."
Yeah, I still have to watch that one.
This show is downright the best show running right now on television.
First off, that's bullshit. Second off, this show is amazing. Andrew, when I tell you, this show is so much, it's very much, in a sense, like Chuck to me, in the sense that I kept going with it, even though I was like, is this any good? It's not really. And slowly but surely, as you say, it built up to this point where even at the second to last episode, I was like, well, you know what? This show is, it's good, but, I could live without it. And then in the final episode, they released the Kraken. that the last episode was what hit the nail in the coffin for me. Well, probably a bad a bad analogy.
That's a poor analogy, Douglas. That means the opposite.
Yeah. Exactly. But
did you mean you hated the show? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Are you leading me along
this path of promise and hope?
All right, let's try another one. It was the last straw in the camel's. Wait, no, that's not a good one. It was
jumping the shark. It knew to the fridge. And as a new one that I learned thanks to one of my meetings in Toronto, it's invisible the car.
Wow, the James Bond effect, huh? Andrew, that last episode was superb. It was their pièce de résistance, if you will.
You're still in season one talking right now, right?
Yeah, I'm still talking about season one.
Okay.
And that was when I just had to take off my hat to them and say, you guys have created an excellent TV show, and it is one of the best around.
So,
why?
So.
Especially because the way that the first season was created, it was one story, Andrew. They didn't need to do anything else. This could have been a British TV show.
And you see,
this
therein lies my thing, right? Because when the first season was over, I loved it, but I stopped there going, I'd be so happy if there was no more. And then I heard the greenlit a second season, and I was so worried.
Well, me too. I was of the same thought process. I saw the end, and I was like, you know what? They're probably going to want to make another season because this is an American show. But you guys have... You've done it. This is, you know... This is what you came here to do, clearly. This one story is what you wanted to tell, and you told it perfectly. And then I got really worried when I started seeing the ads on TV for the second season. It was weird because, you know, half of you is worried that it can't live up to the first season. The second half of you is really excited because the first season was so awesome. And so far, I've watched the first three episodes. I still haven't watched that episode that you're talking about. So far, they've managed to pull something off. I'm not quite sure where they're going with it yet. Maybe you get a little bit more color in the new episode that was on Sunday last night. But, yeah, they're doing something good with this one again. I can smell it.
So Douglas, out of curiosity, because you tell me I'm wrong, what is the best show running on television right now?
I don't know, but there's so many good ones that...
What's the best show that you're watching right now, which isn't some British show that was 10 years ago?
Let me tell you what great shows I'm watching.
No. I don't want a list of 5,000 British shows you're watching.
Shut up.
I want the show that when it comes out,
I can't give you the,
you
listen,
can't
listen,
wait.
I'm going to pull a High Fidelity on your ass. I can't give you the number one, but I can give you the top five. I'm watching this show, which is definitely up there. I'm watching The Walking Dead, which is blowing my mind right now. What else am I watching? I'm watching Dexter, which is doing pretty well. Definitely not as good as Homeland right this second, but really, really good. excuse me. I'm watching Elementary, which is... Oh, no, that's shitty.
Douglas, why are you... I told you, don't list the 5,000 shows you're watching. I just want the one. Why are you wasting my time?
All right, no, I could I could argue for Walking Dead being better than this show.
No, look. Up until this morning, I would have said The Walking Dead was the best show I was watching.
Tonight, Well then, Andrew, you can't ask me that question then until I've seen this episode that you're talking about.
Tonight, after watching Homeland, Homeland's the best show that's on television now.
Wow. Them some strong ones.
Because while I adore The Walking Dead, I mean, I love where they're taking the show this season, and I'm pretty sure if the stars align, hopefully I can get us to do another TV episode where we just talk about a season, and we'll talk about The Walking Dead again when that's over. But...
Well, let's do it. Trust me, I want to do like all of them. I want to do The Walking Dead, let's do Homeland. Well, Damon doesn't watch Homeland, does he?
That's the thing, we never talk about it because when Breaking Bad is out, I don't think we can spend a week.
Show that I was about to say.
I don't think we can spend a week where either you or Damien don't bring it up and go, oh my goodness, this is the most amazing show. And I don't really do that with television shows because I feel the need where I'm like, I brought it up, maybe I've gotten you guys to check it out, but I never force the topic anymore. But I felt there was a need today to bring back up Homeland.
By the way, you mentioned Breaking Bad. That show is better than Homeland.
But that's not running right now.
It is.
No,
if you,
it's not.
If you no, no, wait.
What, if you're using DVDs?
Wait, hold on. No. If you think about it, the last season, the final season of Breaking Bad began in September and doesn't finish until sometime next year. Just because they're on a break doesn't mean that the season isn't
so you're saying, Douglas, is that you're watching Community right now?
No, because Community hasn't started its season yet.
But October 19th is a state of mind, and it's right here.
Wait, what? Wait, seriously, has it start? Did it start on October
19th? No. I guess you haven't seen it, right? It was supposed to start on October 19th. That was a scheduled start date.
And then
they
pushed it back.
It's been delayed. Yeah. However, they put out a promotional video with all of the cast members, and more importantly, Troy and Abed, the more important cast members, talking about why Community hasn't started yet. And they're like, but the people at NBC decided that it's not so much as to when October 19th is, it's what October 19th is. And it's a state of mind. And be assured that whenever we're back, it'll be October 19th in here, pointing at their hearts or something. You can go find it. I'm sure it's
Andrew,
on YouTube.
Yes. Send me the link, please.
I'll send you after the show. But yeah, that's all I really want to talk about. Do you remember what we've been watching? Dead bodies to flame. Never been a trigger man. Crack never peddled that. Opposite a jigger man. Doubled my expectancy. Can you believe it? Look, no bullet wounds, not paraplegic. Still standing like the Pledge of Allegiance. Moves made both emotional and strategic. My heart disintegrated in a million pieces. Listen, that's life. Deal with it. Press reset. Download pain. Write a thesis.
perform for millions, Brazilian visas, transcontinental indigenous divas that speak multiple languages for unspeakable reasons. And still, there are places that I've never been. Like
first trailer I want to talk about is Holy Motors. This film has been going through all of the festivals, Fantastic Fest, New York Film Festival, all of the festivals that I didn't go to. And everyone has been raving about it.
Qu'est-ce qui vous pousse à continuer, Oscar?
Pour la beauté du geste.
La beauté, on dit qu'elle est dans l'œil. Dans l'œil de celui qui regarde.
Alors si personne ne regarde plus...
Who are we? Who were we? When we were who we were back then. Who will we have become if
we got to see the trailer. We've already seen the short film which the same director made, featuring the same character who we mentioned as the leprechaun. Was he called the leprechaun? I can't remember,
but...
the film was Tokyo.
Yeah, it was Tokyo. And it had three crazy-ass directors.
But more importantly, since we're just talking about Holy Motors...
yeah.
It was this character. We'll call him the leprechaun for now, because I don't remember, and I'm not in the mood to Google. Who lived in the sewers, and people were afraid of, and such... And now he's in France, and apparently it looks like he's really just a guy putting on a show. So, Douglas, what did you think of this trailer? And keep in mind, it's French.
Ah, oh, merde. Okay. Well, all right. So, first of all, that was the name of the segment in Tokyo that... he was in. The name of the segment was Merit, as in shit. And his name, by the way, was also shit or Merit. What did I think about this trailer? I thought this trailer, boy, it's kind of hard to look at this trailer and know what the hell to think. This trailer. Says a lot of good things about the movie in writing. It also shows me this character that I thought was hilarious just to look at. And it also shows me a lot of other things that have nothing to do with this leprechaun. You see Eva Mendes, well, at least she has something to do with it because she gets hijacked or kidnapped or whatever. And as you say, this guy is clearly just a performance artist. Which is interesting, and I guess you could go on another tangent from there, but there's a lot of crazy ass visuals in this trailer. You see people in what look like motion capture suits with bright lights shining off of them and doing some crazy dances, and I'm not even gonna say holy shit, holy motor, this movie is kinda crazy, or it looks kinda crazy. And the truth of the matter is, Andrew, there is no way to objectively look at this trailer and say whether the movie is good or the movie is bad. I'm just gonna say it's French, it's crazy, it looks like it's gonna be pretty. I'm gonna have to watch it.
I'm down, Douglas. This movie looks fantastic. and just a small touch, putting on top of the fact that we're talking about a character from a short film we've seen, which I don't remember if Damien liked it, but I know that you and quite loved it.
Yeah. I think Damien didn't like any of the...
He liked the other one, the Hikakomori one.
Yeah, the he liked the cyborg one, but nothing else.
Yeah.
And I think we liked both the cyborg one and... No. We liked this one and
the Michel Gondry one.
But we didn't much like this one except for the leprechaun. The leprechaun was the only saving grace for us, right?
Yeah.
That's what I remember.
And the weirdest part is that thinking about that character, I like that evolution, considering him to be a performance artist who's just going out to fuck with people to go hey, I want to steal the show at this fashion shootout where Eva Mendes, who I know we don't talk about that much, but she's pretty damn hot. Right? She should be on that list of women who were yeah, she's there. I mean,
yeah, moving on. The trailer looks brilliant. It looks visually great. It's apparently his first full-length feature. He's done only shorts beforehand. His name, the director's name, I have it right here, is Leo Carax. I suck at French. We've had this before. C-A-R-A-X. Carax. Cara. I don't know how that's pronounced in French. I apologize to my listeners who actually speak French. And it feels very much like this trailer is the product of someone who knows how to sell their movie without giving much away. Because, to tell the truth, while there's a lot of insanity in here, we don't really know what's happening at all. I mean, other than the fact that Eva Mendes gets captured at one point.
Well, actually, you see, the thing is, we're not even sure if she gets captured. We know that this guy walks in on one of her camera shoots, and we know that she's in another scene with the leprechaun behind her. That doesn't mean he kidnapped her. That doesn't mean he captured her. That just means that they're in another scene together.
That's very, very true. I'm going to still pretend that he captures her. Maybe it's my prediction. We'll see what happens when the movie comes out. I'm pretty sure this is going to be one of those movies where the moment we can all get to watch it, it will be a Tump review. So, the next trailer I wanted to talk about is the new Tom Cruise film, which is coming out this Boxing Day, Jack Reacher.
What does an army cop do, mostly?
Which you do. With one minor difference. Every suspect was a trained killer.
What do we hope to find?
The truth.
A soldier is asking questions no one else would ask. Get the lawyer.
Helen?
No.
Helen, are you hurt?
Do I have to tell you how this works?
Do you think I'm a hero?
I am not a hero.
Lawyer's all yours.
On second thought,
I'd like to kill you.
It's apparently, as we mentioned before, the next film from Chris McQuarrie, who did The Way of the Gun, wrote and directed, and he's written and directed this film based on a book. What are your impressions of the trailer, Douglas?
The trailer, honestly, it kind of reminds me of Night and Day. You remember the Night and Day trailer?
Oh, I don't think that's anywhere close. Night and Day was really a bit more tongue-in-cheek than this.
Really?
Actually, I'm not even going to say a bit. It was so much more tongue-in-cheek than this.
Case in point. At the end of this trailer, Jack Reacher gets out of a moving vehicle, walks into a crowd who it appears he doesn't know anybody in, and that crowd immediately decides, you know what, we're gonna let him stand here and act like he's been a part of the crowd and he's watching the car go by. And then, you know what? I'm gonna give him a cap so that he can put it on his head and just, you know, put his head down and pretend like nobody knows him. And then when we get on the bus, he's gonna be nice enough to me to give him back my cap. What the hell was that? That reminds me of Tom Cruise grabbing Cameron Diaz and saying, nobody move or I'll kill myself and then I'll kill her. That
herein lies the key difference, Douglas. well, I think your connecting thread is nothing of what you're talking about. I mean, the only connection you have there is A, an action movie, and B, Tom Cruise. The difference is in that movie, Tom Cruise was making fun of action movies. He was making fun of the fact that in action movies we have this ridiculous moment and he gets away. And yes, it is a ridiculous moment and he gets away. But it's completely separate in the way that it is presented. It's just the ridiculous moment of an action movie. It's not pointing at an action movie ridiculousness. I'm pretty sure I've said stupidness for the last minute.
Yeah, a little bit.
but do you at least see where I'm going? I'm trying.
Yes, Andrew. You get an E for effort.
Thank you. I'll take it.
Well, the thing about it is, though, Andrew, this trailer, I don't know. I'm not extremely impressed with it. I probably will watch a movie, though, because, one, I like action movies. Two, I generally like Tom Cruise movies. So, I guess I'm going to have to watch it.
So I had a big question mark beside this movie before this trailer, because I'd seen the teaser a long way back and I wasn't that impressed. It didn't seem that engaging or anything. And then I saw this trailer, and added to the fact of my now bias of Chris McQuarrie and being interested in seeing what his next action movie is going to be as a director and writer, am I the only one who can't wait to see an action movie in which the villain is played by Werner Herzog? the man with the monotone voice that should just do every ad in the world. Like, I dream of watching YouTube videos of guys just videotaping their friends jumping off a cliff and having Werner Herzog narrate it, going, "This is a man in a special environment. He thinks that his world is crumbling around him, and therefore he must... Oh, and there he goes." I can't wait for it. I don't know why. It just seems so fun to me.
Okay, Andrew, let's rewind a little bit. And I'd like to give you... I'd like you to give the same analysis, except this time, take out your bias for McQuarrie. Go.
I want to see Werner Herzog as a bad guy. I'm sorry. I love it. I mean, no, come What's on. All right, you? All right. The movie is definitely a rental without the McQuarrie, bias. But I'm sorry, Werner Herzog as a bad guy is enough for me. It's just something that I've never seen in movies. I don't think I've ever seen Werner Herzog in front of the camera before.
Okay, here's what you need to watch. I can't remember the name of it, but Google a mockumentary about the Loch Ness Monster.
Was it his documentary? Was it his film?
I think it was
his film. Because to tell the truth, I guess I have seen him in front of the camera, and that was for his documentary, the one in the cave, Forgotten Dreams, which I actually liked a lot, which I didn't talk
but
about.
But no, but that was a real documentary.
Yeah.
This is literally... I said mockumentary for a reason. Mm-hmm. This movie is...
What's it called?
I can't remember. I asked you... that's why I said you had to Google it. Or IMDb it. It's something about the Loch Ness Monster. It... you know who's in it? Jeff. Jeff Goldblum is in it for like half a second. And the rest of the people are unknowns. And they go out on this tiny boat to try and find the Loch Ness Monster, and crazy things happen.
The Loch Ness Monster. Okay. I will look it up.
Yes.
Is it called Loch Ness?
I don't know.
Starring... I mean, Ted Danson in the starring.
Ooh, Ted Danson, really?
Actually, this looks like a real movie.
Oh, no. Oh, yes, that's a TV movie. No. What you have to do is you search for the person you know is in the movie, Werner Herzog, and then you look for something to do with Loch Ness.
Incident at Loch Ness. Stars Werner Herzog and other people who I don't know. A documentary exploring the myth of Loch Ness Monster. This seems like a real movie, like a real documentary, because he's a writer on it.
If it's what I saw, no, it's not.
But it does say comedy horror, so
there you go.
But yeah, from the moment that I saw that in the trailer, I was ready. I was like, sure, I'll bite.
This is really weird. You know, it's not in his acting section in IMDb.
What, the film?
Yeah.
Well, you know, they're afraid to credit Werner for anything, because then he'll have the monotone voice narrating odd footage. So last trailer I want to talk about is one that you brought to my attention, because I definitely did not know about this trailer. Called Gang of the... Is it Jotas or Jotas? I don't know what language this is.
I would assume it's Hotas, but I really don't know.
C'est moi qui ai votre valise, donc je suppose que c'est vous qui avez la mienne.
Vous faites quoi, là? va boire un verre.
Je peux venir avec vous?
Qu'est-ce qui se passe?
Qu'est-ce qui se passe là?
Vous avez vu le type?
And you tell us what this movie is about, Douglas, because trailer tries very
hard. Hold on, Andrew, I'm gonna ask you what Holy Motors is about.
Holy Motors is about a leprechaun capturing Eva Mendes.
You're an asshole. You know that the correct answer to that question is I have no clue, Douglas. And that is my answer to you. I have no clue what this movie is about. But it tells me that apparently it's a movie about badminton, the mafia, suitcases, with a little bit of murder, and some other stuff. This trailer is beautiful, Andrew. It promises me a beautifully shot movie. It also promises me a somewhat wacky movie while still seemingly serious. And you know that I'm a sucker for those kind of things, you know? So for me, I didn't really need to understand what the movie was about. I did get a bit of a hint, because you can really look at this trailer and say, okay, it looks like this woman somehow is mixed up in the mafia and inadvertently gets these two strangers mixed up as well. And for some reason, they're okay with that. And they just, you know, they just go with it.
And Jesus makes a cameo appearance.
And Jesus makes a cameo, which is always good. So, I mean, with a setup like that, I don't need another trailer. I don't need anything. I'm down. I'm watching this movie. And I love how throughout this trailer, they're like, this movie is after Persepolis and Plums with Chickens, or whatever the
chicken
second movie
Chicken
is,
with Plums.
Chicken with Plums, which is a, and I can't remember her name, but let's put insert name here. This is, which is an insert name here's movie, but this movie does not look like an insert name here's movie. And then it keeps reminding you. And at the end, it's like, oh yeah. And this movie definitely doesn't look like an insert your hairs.
I'm going to take a crack at pronouncing this woman's name. I will say beforehand, I am a big fan of Persepolis. Her name is Marjane Satrapi. I've ruined it. But probably, I'm pretty but sure some okay. people are enjoying that. She's from
so
Iran, I believe.
So what did you think of this one, Andrew?
Huh?
Oh yeah,
she's from Iran. I know that because that's where Persepolis came from. It was her story, apparently.
I see. Well, tell me, sir, what did you like about this trailer? What did you hate about this trailer?
I liked it for the same reasons you liked it. It was the right kind of quirky and strange, but at the very same time, it made me very wary, especially with things like the Jesus cameo. Like, I was willing to buy into the style and the strangeness of, oh, this lady gets a bag of shuttles. Is that right? A shuttles for badminton?
Yeah, shuttle is a badminton ball.
And she gets mixed up with the mafia, and it becomes a strange little weird story. But when you insert shots of like, oh look, Jesus is a cameo, and you even have like that moment in the trailer where you have an arrow pointing down, and I'm going to take the assumption that that arrow is in the movie. It's not just put in there for the trailer. It seems like it might cross the strange boundary, and I don't know if it's going to have enough to back it up. But at the very same time, I am a fan of the director because I did love Persepolis. So I'm interested, but it's very low on the interested queue for me, to be honest. I have Werner Herzog, Bad Guy, and Holy Motors above it.
Really? Wow, okay.
So this is a strange week. We don't have Damien, and we have three trailers we like very much.
Yes, sir. But I do believe... Oh, no, we don't. We don't have a fourth.
No, we don't have a fourth trailer. We're not talking about that.
We spoke about not talking about that.
So... Even these words are being stricken from the podcast. If you heard me say that, then they strike that same. Cause I see the remains of the whips and the chains in my hood where it ain't all good. Peep the pain of a single mother, she's struggling. Young child slain, give me five on the black hand side. Let's maintain like the soul train and keep it moving together. I'm saying, open the door, let me in. Teach us all. Do we know each other?
Why do you think we're going to?
I don't know. How would I know?
Because I already know an awful lot of people, and until one of them dies, I couldn't possibly meet anyone else.
Well, if anyone goes on the critical list, let me know.
As you can see, she was in serious trouble. But she still found time to enjoy herself.
Mrs. Lampert, any morning now you could wake up dead.
Of course, she never had as much fun as her husband. Now he knew how to relax. You see, it all began when he got off the train.
This week, I wanted us to talk about a film starring the nun...
There's a nun in this movie?
Huh? Sorry?
There's a nun in this movie?
There is a nun somewhere in this movie. I'll prove it to you. I wanted to talk about this movie. This film, which has been lauded to me for years on end. I've been meaning to watch this forever. It is called Charade. It's directed by Stanley Donen. I'm sure I'm pronouncing his name wrong. Who gave me Singing in the Rain? Starring Cary Grant, Audrey Hepburn, Walter Matthau, and James Coburn. Is that his name? James Coburn.
Right. Yeah.
I thought it wasn't Coburn for a second.
And also, do you know who else it's starring?
Who else?
Do you remember a little movie by the name of Naked Gun?
Yes.
So, clearly not Leslie Nielsen, right?
I'm going to assume it's not.
Yeah, clearly not. But do you remember that he had a chief that he reported to?
Oh shit! Was Herman the chief?
Yes, he was.
Oh, I knew his face looked familiar. I wasn't quite sure. His name is George Kennedy. Oh, so good. So for those of you who don't know, this film is about Mrs. Lampert, who comes home from vacation to find out her husband has died. However, before he died, he sold off all of their possessions to a sum of $250,000. And there are three men chasing after her, wanting that money. She doesn't know where the money is, but they're chasing after her. And apparently, he used to be a part of... He used to have something to do with the war. That's why these three men are chasing after her. And Cary Grant comes in the mix as a unassuming, friendly character by the name of Peter Joshua.
Andrew, I have to stop the podcast for this. Damon is on the phone. Hold on. Oh, shit. I hung up on him. Hold on. I have to call him back.
Can you put the phone on speaker?
I'm going to. Hold on.
But he won't hear me.
Yeah, this part of it is going to be shitty because...
Well, I'm pretty sure I'll cut it out anyways.
Thanks for calling Turnover also this hour. This is Fallon from Mayor.
Yeah, Damien. You're at work?
Yeah.
I see you just called me. Of course, this lady answers the phone and I'm like, wait. I think I have the wrong number, but is Damien there?
Sick people are horrible.
Because I've been here since evening. Still have to come in. I still have work, you know, tonight.
Oh, jeez. So you've been there in the day and now you're going to stay until tomorrow morning?
I've been here. I got some sleep, but I've been here all day.
Awesome.
Since
you have to stay at work, you're going to have to phone in your review. What did you think of Charade?
Are you recording this now?
Of course I'm recording this.
Oh, that's terrific. Hold on.
Oh my goodness, I can't delete this though.
Yes, sir.
Yes, so what did you think of Charade? Go!
Alright, so let me start by saying I saw a couple of movies. I saw 1, 2, 3, Frankie Go Boom.
Oh, I wanted to watch that. Was that good?
No. That was not. I saw Magic Mike. I don't want to anger Andrew, but once again, Soderbergh has not wowed anybody. It is okay. Now that my hatred of Channing Tatum is gone, it's an okay movie. What trailers did you guys talk about?
We talked about Holy Motor. Did you see that one?
No.
Okay, we talked about Jack Reacher.
Right, I saw the Jack Reacher trailer. It looks mediocre, I think they're trying to ape Taken, but the last person that did that, Taken 2, did terribly, so it's probably going to be bad. And the movie was okay. Charade was okay, I guess. It's like one of those movie channel movies that you see, watch, and don't completely hate yourself for watching. I expected better, though. The rating on that was like an 8 or something like that on IMDb, which is ridiculous. I don't know who gave that movie that higher rating, but it was okay, though. Especially with those, the guys who were in that movie, I expected the world when I saw the name, the cast. I went, yeah, this is going to be awesome. But I guess there's a reason. I haven't heard that much about that movie. It has a higher rating, but thought it would be better. Did you guys like the movie? I know Andrew probably did.
Andrew, what's he thought?
Of what movie? Jack Reacher?
Charade. We're talking about Charade.
Oh, Charade.
Yeah.
I quite liked the movie. I mean, it wasn't what I expected because the way it was presented, the way people hyped it for me, I felt like it was going to be more of a noir, more of a Bond movie than it turned out to be a romantic comedy. And I guess I should have expected that due to the cast. But I still enjoyed it very much. I mean, what's more to love when you have a Cary Grant film and even better, Walter Matthau and Audrey Hepburn as well?
Both of you are wrong. This movie's bad. So, first off, Andrew, why did you ask me to watch a remake of the Truth About Charlie? Seriously. Seriously.
I think you have your dates mixed up there, sir.
Why would I watch a remake of a Mark Wahlberg movie? What?
I don't think that's how remakes work.
I mean, I know Damien stretched it with The Walking Dead, but...
But Andrew, no. You see, you kind of hit the nail on the head, but you said it in a nice way. This movie did not turn out to be a romantic comedy. Here's what this movie did. This movie was wanted to be a drama, well, I don't know, suspense, whatever kind of movie, but decided since Audrey Hepburn is in it, she has to be ditzy, and she has to fall in love with somebody, and everything has to be great. So they turned what could have been a pretty decent regular movie into a romantic comedy at the end. Especially when she was like, I love you, Billy Bob, Reggie, Stephen, Jason, and all the names on there. And oh, there goes Damien. I think he just got fired.
So I won't call it. So at least we have Damien's thoughts on things. But oh my goodness.
Yes, but hold on, while I make the recording sound much better.
There's no way I can delete that.
What's that?
There's no way I can delete that.
And I can imagine, because it was all through the phone and I had it straight to the microphone, that it's all like, wow, 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 with the telephone.
If it sounds
noise,
anything
but...
like what I heard, it'll be fine.
Okay. Oh, wait. Damien is back. Damien, did you get fired? I thought you got fired. That's why you hung up on me.
No, the phone just cut off. I thought you run out of credit or something.
No man. I have unlimited credit, my friend.
Right, I remember that. Because I was on there and the phone disappeared. I think it's better run up Karen over bill. I feel better about that.
I hear you.
Since morning.
Oh boy. But yes, that's what I was saying about this movie. This movie, it doesn't know what it wants to be. It's not that great. It's really trying to play on its strengths, which are three very famous and pretty decent actors. Walter Matthau, Cary Grant, and Audrey Hepburn. All of them good in their own rights, but it just doesn't come together well enough.
I have to admit, I found it pretty ridiculous. Even like halfway through the movie, when Cary Grant's character changes name like every 3 minutes, and a minute after which he changes a name, Audrey Hepburn goes, "I don't mind, I love you anyways." Right again.
Yeah, that was retarded. And then in the end, The drastic name change in the end was horrible.
But I have to say, as horrible as it is, I'm willing to forgive it for a stupid ass bias that I burst out into laughter with the facial expression that Cary Grant made at that in that end scene.
Yeah, because you're stupid. So. Wow. So you also loved it when he was showering in his jacket and he gave all of those.
I loved it
as well, didn't you? Yeah, yeah.
Have I ever told you guys that I love Cary Grant?
That's bad, Andrew. This movie is bad. It could be good, and you see that's what makes it so bad. You know, what makes this movie so bad is that it could have been great. It could have been a really good suspense thriller, little bit of action thrown in. But really what it turned out to be was a soup medley of bullshit.
Okay. It's been a rough last week at work, hasn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
Some issues on this movie.
Perhaps. Oh, boy. Well, I mean, that's my take. Damien, do you agree?
No. I guess I won't suffer for ensemble movies. So I just look at the people that I like and go, I guess it's not that bad. I mean, that's the same way I felt about that hotel movie, that the one of the three movies they had us review.
Oh, the Marigold one?
Yeah, the Marigold one.
Yeah, that's true. That movie was... But no, I think that movie was...
No, Douglas. Let's not get forgiving now. Not happening.
No, we said it from the other day. That movie was average.
I didn't say that.
If the cast was in there, we'd have ripped that movie to shreds.
Probably. Probably.
I mean, I was already sold on Cary Grant and Audrey Hepburn, but when I started this movie and I saw Walter Matthau was in it, I'm like, what more do I need? This movie is already perfect.
Walter Matthau was in it.
I didn't know
when
he was
saw,
in this movie.
When I saw on the IMDb page that Walter Matthau was in this movie, I knew Andrew picked it immediately because he loves that man too much. If that man was still alive and could have sex with Andrew, Andrew would be like, okay.
Pretty much.
I
remember someone saying this, and I think it's perfect. Walter Matthau is like that what's that cartoon character, Droopy, the dog with the mutt face, where he's just he's that character in every movie, and I love him for it.
You guys are weird.
I think I shouldn't pick classic films anymore. I don't pick the right classic films.
No, you don't. You pick remakes, bad remakes of
2002 of
already
films.
Bad Mark Wahlberg movies.
What the fuck? Soderbergh movies.
Oh man.
Have you seen that movie? I know Douglas hasn't seen any movies.
Which movie are you talking about?
Magic Mike.
No, I haven't.
That can be a part of your lazy ass bastard festival.
Exactly.
Anyways, we've been talking for a while. I'm so happy to have Damien on via phone because, I mean, he wouldn't pick up his phone when I called him because I'm not that important, I've discovered.
Yeah, it would be nice if I wasn't here at work from morning. That would also be nice.
That's not an excuse, sir. That's not an excuse. I'm going to say that with the confidence knowing that Damien can't hit me right now. Anyways, I'm going to wrap up the show now. So, we all talked about Charade. I guess the consensus is that it's not a very good movie, I'm sad to say. I have some good things to say. We all kind of...
Damien has left the building again.
I'm pretty sure he's tired of hearing my voice, which is why he didn't pick up in the first place. We've all said good things and bad things about the movie. The consensus is it's not that great. It's not very good. But I say watch it for Cary Grant and watch it for him taking a shower in his own clothes. That's not gay. That's just me saying good things about Cary Grant. There's some good trailers out there. Jack Reacher looks promising, or to mediocre, I don't know. Gang of the Hilltus and Holy Motors look amazing. Lots of good movies that we saw. Go and watch those. I'm going really long with this wrap up for no particular reason this week. You can find the podcast over at gmanreviews.com as well as all of my writing. I'm Andrew Robinson. I'm gmanreviews on Twitter. Douglas, where are you on the internet?
I am on Twitter. My name is DJR Lost His Name. And I'm sure you can find me other places. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Google Plus.
I see you've been rediscovering Twitter in your lunch hour.
You know what happened too is you probably didn't see those tweets, but it was funny. I actually tweeted and kind of badmouthed the Twitter app that I'm using.
I saw it
because but did you see the conversation?
I didn't see the conversation. No.
So I badmouthed the Twitter app that I was using because for some reason it wouldn't automatically shorten my URL. Because I guess the first thing it does is it looks and it says, are you over the regulation 140 characters? If you are, no matter what I can do to make that smaller, I'm going to use Twitlonger, which is lame. I hate that foolishness about... And the best thing about this movie was continued. And then you have to go to a link to figure out what the tweet actually says. But if the app had actually shortened the URL that was on the end of my tweet, I would have been within regulation. So it should have been able to do
that.
You
didn't configure the Bitly.
No. It's automatically configured. And this is one of those apps where it's supposed to be very simple. So there's not much config that I can do. But I was very impressed though, because within like minutes, this guy was like, what do you mean our app didn't work? What is your problem? And we had like a good three or four tweets back and forth each to each other. And I laid out the problem and he's like, oh, yeah, you're right. I'm going to look into that. So I thought that was really cool.
It's like new build. So you have found Twitter to complain about Twitter and Twitter apps.
Yes, I have. And that's probably the first and last time that when I tag somebody, they'll at me. I did get an at from my boy there once. What's his name again? Duncan Jones. But that's about it. I tagged in Kevin James in our conversation about Here Comes a Boom, but he did not respond, that bastard.
I tell you, he's too big time for us. Too big time.
Much too big time.
I mean, he's good in with Adam Sandler, and I mean, that guy, he makes classic films.
Yeah, he does. He does.
But I think this wrap-up is taking like 10 times as long as any wrap-up I've ever done. So, on that note, we're going to say goodnight. And thanks to Damien for calling in. I hope you don't get fired.
I hope he does.
Because then he'll be at the podcast. Yes. I don't mean it, Damien. I love you. Go and do your work. This is an American postmortem. To focus on your bogus Nova Soda. Say where we're going. Say we're going to get together. One day, one day, one day, one day, one day, one day. I said the people gon' clap. Make a I don't like that sound either.
That was my nose.
I know.
Yes, hello.
You sound fine.
When I was a young warthog.
Okay, I can't wait till you listen back to this episode, Douglas.
Oh, it's going to be fun. So how far back should I go?